Yeah, so hello, Frederik Akkavaviva. I have a few questions about your Karl Schuka Prize awarded work, Antipod for Voices and Dead Electronics. Where would you define yourself or your work in the wild field of art, literature and music, let's say?
Well, I could say that precisely I don't want to define myself, but at the same time, if you want me to answer today, well, I would say I have nothing to do with literature, and that I am thinking myself as a composer, and I see music as a form of art. So for me, music is not a closed form of art. It's related to all the arts. I want to see music as an extended composition that includes lots of material. So for me, it's music, but it's not maybe the music that people think it's music.
And you worked quite a lot with artists from the historical avant-garde, coming from lettrism, from sound poetry. How is this influence audible in your work?
Well, for me, I make a total separation on the things I am interested in and I try to promote. Beside my music, I've got some curatorial activities, which are also meant to be creative in a way that they are not fixed, they are dynamic, and it could be into the form of a film or a book or an exhibition or things like that. So I've been indeed very interested in avant-garde, but I mean mostly the forgotten avant-garde, which is always the case more or less. I mean, some 20 years ago, I discovered lettrism. I met Isidore Isou for his last 10 years, and I was really interested in discovering what he did, and I didn't understand why he was at that time so forgotten. So, but that was a case of Volman, and then I met Henri Chopin, Bernard Tittle, these people. So, I mean, I think when you do something creative, like music, you should be interested in what other people are doing. I mean, I'm totally self-taught as a composer, so I don't come from a musical family or with connections or teach any teacher, I don't know what other things like that. I don't have, and I don't want to have a PhD or anything that would make my life very easy. I want to build my own life. So I came across those people, and it was very interesting to see how they could manage to create without many helps, which has been mostly my case also. Now I'm 53, and I must say this Karl Schuka Prize was quite a surprise for me.
And how did the Antipod project that got awarded with the Karl Schuka Prize 2020 came about? So how did the project for that work develop?
I would say my main project in composing is not to repeat myself. So I'm quite obsessed with trying to do different pieces each time. I mean, I'm not interested in redoing the same music all the time. I find it boring and I don't want to know what I'm going to compose before I compose it. So I'm working with some kind of ideas I want to do with a special project. So I've been composing for 30 years and 50 pieces on even more if you consider some are a cycle of, for example, 120 pieces in itself. I mean, I'm interested in the relationships between the arts, as I explained. So I have a friend which is a fantastic artist and also poet and fantastic performer, who is Joël Hubot. So the idea was to come from his drawings. His drawing is a kind of his diary, which he puts into a kind of tagged words and special drawing, which he does with Posca pens. And so I thought I'm going to ask him to read the text that is from a drawing, and then this voice, I'm going to do something, I'm going to build this piece, which of course extends totally the universe of Joël, who is himself a performer who performs quite differently because of course it's not music. So for me it was, how can I do something with this? So this was the point of departure, and then also I'm very interested in voices. I have another ongoing project for a decade now, which I'm working with the voice of the mezzo-soprano Laurie Lichtenberg, who's a British mezzo. So I've worked with her on several pieces before, and each time I'm trying to write differently for voice. This was also connected to this project. And the third voice I wanted was also the voice of American artist who's a friend and who lives in Berlin since the 70s, Dorothy Yannon. Well, I found her voice totally fantastic, so I wanted to ask her to read the titles of the drawings of Joël Hubot. So in a way, it kind of cuts the piece into 18 small pieces, which are in themselves reunited in three parts.
What are the topics you were interested in the piece?
I mean, the topic for me is music, how to make music with anything. So that's my main topic, and how to make a different music from what I've done before. So then the work of Joël is about epidemic. So, of course, it takes a specific dimension with the coronavirus now. But the piece, as you know, was done in 2019. I mean, it was finished in something like September, October, maybe at the beginning of this virus, but we didn't know of it yet. So, of course, I'm interested in all these topics, but at the same time now, it's kind of different to look at it after 1 year of this virus and everything being cancelled. I mean, for example, today I should have been in Mexico to do a concert and masterclass and everything's cancelled. Well, that is nice to have this broadcast on SWR.
Your piece begins with a discussion about is there only one God and why, and about Jesus. Is religion a topic in the piece?
Well, it could be, but because it's articulated in three parts, which are hell, purgatory, and paradise, it's I would say it's a critique of monotheism, and all my life and all my music is a critique of something which is unique. I mean, I don't understand why all the music landscape is so uniform. So this is what it means, in fact. But of course, I try to make things open. People can relate it to very different things. Each part starts with a discussion on different religion. Another thing I wanted to say is I'm really happy this piece got this Karl Zucker Prize, because in fact it's a piece that hasn't been produced by anyone, because I tried to have a production and it failed. So I just did it as I do usually on my own without commission. That means that this piece is something I really want to do, you know, not something that it's not a job for me doing music. So I had access to a Swedish studio, EMS Electronic Music Studio by Mats Lindström. I mean, I'm quite happy to see that I'm the third French composer after Pierre-Henri and Luc Ferrari to have this award, because I can't do anything with French studios, for example, like GRM or IRCAM. I've never been in their programmation. And most of the time, I'm doing things abroad. I live abroad. I was living in Germany also for 5 years, which was totally fantastic, with Berlin. And now I'm in London. I've noticed that most of the time it's mostly artists that program me, like Denis Dufour in France, or Pauline Oliveros, or Phil Niblock in the US, or Peter Weibel also at ZKM.
What also interests me about your work is you call it in the title For Voices in Dead Electronics. And you said you developed it in the EMS studio at Modular Synthesizers there and others. Why do you call it For Dead Electronics?
Well, it's a kind of a critique of live electronics. What I criticize is the usual admiration for the live performance, especially electronics, you know, where you don't even know in a way what the people is doing, but people are making lots of gesture, and like it seems to please people. So I'm more interested in the content. I mean, I'm working by listening what I'm doing, and I don't like when the music is only immersive. For me, it has to travel through the body to the brain, and it has to question the listener, so he has even to wonder what it is, if it's music and where is its place. So dead electronics for me has more a meaning when I for example, this performance and people are thinking they're going to come and listen to a live set. But I think there's a lot of interest also in doing concerts with speakers. My usual set is with 8 speakers in Autophony. And because you make a sound for a room, and there's lots of things also, you can change those parameters, but mainly it's fits, because I don't do improvisation, even if I work with improvisation, but I'm not interested in the concept of improvisation. So I have a very specific interest into the dimension of live performance, live music, and what is fits, like concrete music or electroacoustic music, sometimes is very dead in the end. So I'm trying to keep alive in the moments that I'm composing or choosing on, or the way I put myself into the process of composition. So that's why it's a kind of provocation, in fact.
On the website Le Presse du Rail, it's written that it's a 69 minutes opera. Would you define it as an opera?
Yeah, as I say, I'm interested in mutation and that and transgender music also. So for me, it is thought as an opera, but a new opera, because it has a narrative form, even if it's totally peculiar. And I've done a record which is published at only 120 copies, which is distributed by Presse du Réel and also in France, Souffle Continu. It's a very specific record without a record. It's based on vinyl form, but I don't want to do vinyl because I don't want to go back in the past and I don't like personally the sound of vinyl. So it's an empty pocket which has a serigraphic also, and there's the text that you can read in both sides. And when you flash the QR code, you have an access to the music which was done all alone in itself. But then, as I do often, I add an extension, this time in video. It could be a video text. It's something quite specific, but it's another story. I mean, my piece is done to be a record, but it could be performed in a concert form with speakers. It can be performed as an operatic performance with the voice of Laurie Eisenberg live, and also maybe an extra action of Joël Hubaut, which would have nothing to do with the piece, plus the video that you have on the record. I mean, I've done a version on canvas with this piece also. And of course, it can be heard as a Hörspiel on the radio, because you have to constitute the Hörspiel in a way like it was a tradition in Germany, and specifically with Karl Zucker Prize with the seminal Kegel piece in 1970. I hope people have a good equipment in their houses, because I've worked at TMS Studio, so there are like sub-basses and some very high frequencies, so you have to have a good equipment. That's why also concerts are fantastic, because you hear those kind of frequencies. That's the same thing for concerts. This piece could be performed in a church, could be performed in a nightclub, like I've done concert at the Berghain, for example, with another piece, and the sound system was fantastic. So I think it's very interesting to cross the borders of everything in order to be alive and not to be a stereotype.
Thank you very much, Frédéric Acquaviva, to Paris, and congratulations to the Karl Zucker Prize 2020.
Well, thank you, Frank.